Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. We appreciate your prayers and support and sharing the podcast. I was told we're at over, was it 500, half a million podcast downloads per month. It's just that, wow. that's just audio. It's just like 3.5 years, doing this. Anyway, it's mind boggling, but praise him. We just want to honor God, glorify him, edify and equip the body of Christ. And we're not trying to tickle ears or talk about everything you want us to talk about, but we're trying to hit on all the issues that are important today. Worldview matters, right? So real quick, an event coming to my church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's called Men of Iron Conference. Want to talk about that real quick. Pastor Matt Truella, Pastor David Roth, and Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer are going to be speaking there. It's the menofironconference.org. It's just for men, and that's the last Saturday in February, 8 to 4. So make sure you have that. Guys, if you're in the Wisconsin at least, consider locking arms and sharpening some iron with some men of God. So we've got Dr. Andy Woods with us. We're so blessed. His website is andywoodsministries.org. And of course, his amazing pastor's point of views, you can get those on his YouTube channel, Andy Woods Bible Study. Andy Woods Ministries on YouTube. Make sure to pull those up. And we might talk about some of those stories overlapping a little bit, what he talks about much more in depth than we can do here. But Andy, so good to see you. Thank you for your time, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah, David, thank you. Good to be here.
Well, talk about something that's on people's minds because of the recent Super Bowl and the split, so-called, in the church, the debates, the controversy. We're going to talk about ecumenism. And right now, though, I want to hear your thoughts on the criticism, and in my opinion, harsh criticism of Kid Rock. And now he says he's a Christian. I haven't seen a lot of fruit. I don't follow him closely, but I did see how he performed in the recent alternative Super Bowl halftime show that TPUSA put on, and they weren't claiming it was going to be a Christian show. Just what they wanted it to be, an alternative to Bad Bunny, which is a whole thing. I did a show with Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries last week. You guys want to look that up? And Good Fight, they did a whole expose on this guy. It's demonic. They're talking about going after children and transsexuals, and he wanted to wear a dress. There's so much garbage there. Didn't even sing in English, by the way, at the Super Bowl halftime show. And just having all these flags, immigration, right? You know, anyone can come to America, but immigration without assimilation. Charlie Kirk talked a lot about that. He said you need to assimilate, but I'm getting off track. So, Andy, I know you probably didn't watch the two shows, or some people don't, and that's okay. It's entertainment, right? But TPUSA, I give them kudos for trying to do something different for those that just didn't want to be offended at another NFL decision of bringing in some artists that a lot of people didn't know about or didn't want to be on the halftime show. So Kid Rock, he did this version of his old self transitioning or transforming into a new creation in Christ, his new self. I got it. I understood it when he started singing and mentioning Jesus. I understood it, but a lot of people didn't get it. And when I mean a lot of people, I mean people on the right, Christians, people in discernment ministries. I want to play this clip, and we'll come back and get your take on it. Go ahead, Mike.
There's a book that's sitting in your house somewhere that could use some dusting off. There's a man who died for all our sins, hanging from the cross. You can give your life to Jesus, and he'll give you a second chance till you can't take it. If you got a chance.
Okay, so the idea is don't procrastinate, give your life to Jesus, because right now you have an opportunity, and the song is called Till You Can't. and the lyrics before that, doing things with your dad, giving your dad a rain check because you can't spend time with him, and then someone you want, a girl you want to marry, or spending time with your wife. It's all about procrastination and doing, not doing things in the moment, just putting it off. And he made that point by adding that last verse about Jesus giving your life to him. I thought, I got choked up, man. I heard that. I'm going, whoa. And before that, he did one of his crazy songs from 20 years ago. We were jumping up and down, and I couldn't understand all the lyrics, but I guess they weren't all that great. But then there was these two Christians coming in and playing this violin interlude. There, I believe they played a psalm, in just instrumental. And then they brought on him dressed differently, dressed like a blue-collar guy, there and playing that song. I'm going, wow. So I kind of got it. So Andy, your thoughts on that and maybe people's reactions? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, my first thought is, look at where we are in our culture, that you have to have two Super Bowl halftime shows.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And, you know, you have to go to a different thing to get the halftime show that you're trying to circumvent. And I'm happy that we now have a choice, because, you know, the halftime show at the Super Bowl has been trending in the wrong direction, you know, for a long time, you know, as far as I can remember.
Yep.
So from that standpoint, you know, I think it's great. I'm thinking of people like Benjamin Franklin in our founding history, who may not have, we would have agreed with on every point of doctrine, but Franklin was a big supporter of Christendom, the generic principles of Christianity, because he believed that that's the best way to restrain people's impulses internally. You know, if you can't govern yourself according to the Ten Commandments of God, then big government has to step in and micromanage your life. And so our founding fathers were always in favor of the generic principles of Christendom or Christianity that kind of transcend denominational lines. So I kind of look at the TPUSA stuff as moving in that direction, mm-hmm. Trying to present a cultural alternative. So when I look at it from that angle, I don't sit there with my own doctrinal statement at my church and try to hold them accountable to that, because that's not who they are claiming to be. They're just trying to, you know, support the broad principles of Christianity. And I think that's a good thing. The clip you just played, I thought, was very helpful. I think understanding that there has been a transformation in the gentleman's life is good, because that's happened to all of us. I mean, I'm not the man I should be, but I'm not the man I used to be. Mm. And so, you know, amen. I can identify with him from that standpoint. So, you know, you're mentioning people that are throwing rocks. I didn't know that was happening.
Oh my goodness.
I have a difficult time, you know, throwing rocks at something like that. I'm far more interested in throwing rocks at the normal Super Bowl presentation than this. But anyway, those are my general thoughts, I guess.
Thank you. I would agree. And again, I mean, we've talked about this before we got on the podcast. There's sanctification is a process. And some people get discipled. I'm not sure what kind of pastor Kid Rock has, or what kind of discipleship, if any, he need. Pray for him. Pray for him. It's obviously he wants to represent Jesus. He wants to share Jesus. I mean, just the lines of that song. He said God woke him up one morning, gave that verse to him. But there's a book in your house somewhere that needs to be dusted off. There's a man, whatever it was, hanging from a cross. If you give your life to Jesus, he'll give you a second chance till you can't. So that he also a sense of urgency. I don't hear that in a lot of churches. A sense of urgency, yeah, to give your life to Jesus. Now, once you give your life to Jesus, then there's a process of turning away from the world and changing your life, repenting, and just doing things according to the Word of God. But there's an article, Andy, I want to get your take on this. Virgil Walker wrote, TPUSA isn't the church, and that's the point. And I'll cut to the chase. The last page in this Substack article from him is, TPUSA is not the church. A halftime show is not discipleship. A call to read the Bible is not pastoral care. What wears me out is a brand of discernment that never builds anything. public witness isn't discipleship. That's what Kid Rock did. It's the front door, he said. You can hold a high standard without despising imperfect instruments. And Andy, I'll let you share whatever you'd like to on that.
Well, I think what the guy is doing is it's not even really, I wouldn't even put it in the category of evangelism. I would sort of put it in the category of pre-evangelism, because I can micromanage his presentation of the gospel. You know, he's talking about give your life to Jesus, which is not the gospel. The gospel isn't let's give our lives to Jesus. The gospel is Jesus gave our life, his life for us.
Yes.
And we're to accept what he did for us as a free gift, you know, so I can, you know, I could micromanage a lot of different things in what he's saying there. But to me, he's making people aware of, as you said, the urgency of the hour. He's making people aware of the fact that they need to make some kind of response to Jesus Christ today while there's an opportunity, because once you enter into the eternal realm, after death, then that opportunity ceases to exist. It's appointed for a man once to die, then to face the judgment. So what I think I would put this in the category of is he's planting seeds that the Holy Spirit can use later on to and bring to fruition as more clarified, specific evangelism, you know, takes place in people's lives. So I look at it from that standpoint, and I put it more in the category of pre-evangelism. It's more of a cultural America thing.
Yes.
Than a church thing. And so it's just hard for me to be a negative nilly and find every negative thing about it that I can find and devote myself and my ministry to trying to expose that when, you know, there's other things for me to do. Yeah. Like if you want to find something negative, let's start with the actual Super Bowl halftime show.
And I want to do that right now. I want to go back to that and just read one paragraph or article from, this is over at CBN News. Kid Rock shares about Jesus as millions tune into the All-American Halftime Super Bowl show. So it said, according to Apple Music, he sang a song called, or this is Bad Bunny now. Bad Bunny sang a song called Safaera, I don't know what that is, which means debauchery in Puerto Rican slang. The translation of the lyrics to the English are so incredibly vile, profanely describing debaucherous actions. During the song, two men were grinding on screen with each other. Shame on you, NFL, for promoting this. And there's, you know, part of the halftime show right there. We're watching it. It didn't, if you just look at it and don't know what they're singing about, like, okay, he's talking to people walking around with a football, you know, people go, oh, it's harmless. And that's why even some Christians, Andy, were saying, well, what was wrong with this? Because he's singing in a language that most Americans don't understand. You don't know the lyrics. They didn't know the history and the awful things he was supporting, Bad Bunny. Yeah. So yes, I'm so glad we had an alternative. Not perfect. I think it was a little bit more too much country for me, but I liked the artist. The quality was great. They sounded good. I think we need to do that again every year. I don't know if it's TPUSA or someone else. But really quick, Virgil Walker ends his article by saying, sound theology still matters. Scripture warns us about false teaching, but Scripture also shows God moving his purposes forward through men with baggage, rough edges, and mixed motives. But Paul still said in Philippians 1, 15 through 18, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. So a political stage pointing people to Scripture is not the same thing as a platform redefining Scripture like we see in the church across the country. And in our next podcast, Andy, we're going to talk a little bit more about apostasy. But do you have any other thoughts on this? Because I think some of the concerns that maybe well-meaning people, Christians on the right, have is TPUSA, that connection there, not Charlie Kirk and his worldview, but maybe what they're perceiving TPUSA in the new direction, maybe. I'm not sure if it's new, but they seem to be opening doors to a lot of people or platforming people that you and I would probably not platform theologically. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I look at the TPUSA as a cultural type of organization. I'm not looking at it through the grid of a doctrinal statement of my local church. So there's a number of speakers that they have platformed and are continuing to platform. I mean, I would never have Tucker Carlson at our church or Candace Owens or people like that that are so virulently against the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, because I'm a premillennial, pre-tribulational, you know, dispensational Zionist. But, you know, TPUSA to me is valuable in the sense that they're holding to certain worldview issues. You know, they're pro-Second Amendment, pro-borders, pro-life, pro-homeschooling your kids. If that's the option you want to take, you should have the freedom to do that. And so those are sort of big ticket issues that I can identify with. But when it comes to doctrinal specifics, I don't really look to them for those kinds of things. And so maybe that's why I'm not always, you know, upset related to, you know, something that they say that happens to be doctrinally kind of specious.
So we're to talk a little bit about ecumenical movements, in that word ecumenism, when we come back with Dr. Andy Woods.
Register now for the Worldview Matters Conference May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Expert speakers include Alex Newman, Brianna Clausen, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaw, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. Delta Hotel, Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. Go to worldviewmattersconference.com. That's worldviewmattersconference.com.
So, Andy Woods, is ecumenism biblical? That's a question over at gotquestions.org. And there's three definitions at least. So I want a clear one from you. It says one of them is the Concise Evangelical Dictionary of Theology defines ecumenism as, quote, the organized attempt to bring about the cooperation and unity among Christians. It can also be defined more broadly as, quote, a movement that promotes worldwide unity among all religions through greater cooperation. And then Got Questions said, we will restrict the definition of ecumenism to the move toward unity among Christian groups. So I guess the important question, Andy, is the our ecumenical ventures or purposes right and biblical. So help us understand this a little bit better, because that seems to be a concern with Turning Point USA, which is not a church. It's a political nonprofit, but they're doing a lot of great work. So share your thoughts on that, please.
Well, we've debated, you know, as Christians for a long time, can you be co-belligerents with other groups in fighting certain social evils? So, you know, let's come together with Catholics and Mormons to fight communism, to fight abortion, to fight pornography, because there's not enough of us, you know, to vote these things out. We have to kind of cooperate with each other. So from that standpoint, you know, the late Jerry Falwell through the Moral Majority was doing this stuff back in the 80s, and then it kind of got eclipsed by the work of Ralph Reed and Pat Robertson through the Christian Coalition. And I always felt fine with those types of movements and groups. Mm-hmm. My problem with ecumenism, though, is when it goes too far and what you're told to do is water down the Bible, water down doctrinal distinctives so you can cooperate with another group at a political level. Once they start telling me to water it down, you know, de-emphasize Zionism, even though Zionism is in the Bible, de-emphasize the Trinity because the Mormons, you know, may not agree with your understanding of the Trinity. In fact, they reject the doctrine of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Water that down because we got to make these other groups happy so that we can be co-belligerents against communism or humanism or abortion. Then we have a problem because truth or true unity always comes from a platform of truth. Everybody quotes John 17, verses 20 through 23, where Jesus in the high priestly prayer there prays that we would all be one as the Trinity is one. But they always skip verse 17, which comes before verses 20 through 23, which says, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. So when the ecumenical movement starts to water down truth for the sake of unity and pressure people not to emphasize certain parts of the Bible for the sake of ecumenical unity, that's where I say you guys have taken something that probably started well-intentioned, mm-hmm. and you've just gone too far with it. And so that's whenever unity is pushed and truth is de-emphasized and it's no longer let's stand up for the Second Amendment or whatever, then as we like to say here in Houston, we have a problem. And so I can't cooperate with the ecumenical movement when it reaches that point. I'm not a great student of what TPUSA is doing. But it's my understanding they haven't crossed that threshold yet.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to jump down to the conclusion, and I agree with you, Andy. In this short article at Got Questions, it says, should we be involved in ecumenical cooperation with other Christian churches and other groups of believers? If there is no doctrinal compromise on core Christian belief, if the gospel is not being watered down or sidelined, as you just said, if believers can maintain a clear testimony before the world and God is glorified, then we may freely and joyfully join with other believers in pursuit of God's kingdom. But that's another thing, though, pursuit of the kingdom. We have about 5 minutes left here in this episode, and the NAR is a big concern to a lot of people. They want the kingdom now, and the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, we just had Holly Pivik on the podcast. And so maybe even within TPUSA are leaning toward, that's maybe our approach. Would you care to speak to that before we run out of time?
Well, I think TPUSA would do themselves really well by saying, here's our big five or big 10 issues and stick with that. Mm-hmm. And as long as the rallying point is those things, then that's fine. But the moment you bring in people that are trying to bring in the kingdom, we have a big problem there because I'm not trying to bring in the kingdom. I mean, Jesus told me to pray, thy kingdom come. That's a prayer to the Father. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. He's going to bring in the kingdom at the end of the 7-year tribulation period after there's a converted Israel. And I'm not expecting the kingdom, you know, to materialize before that point in time. So if the ecumenical activity is pressuring my church to get involved in being a kingdom builder, I can't cooperate with that because that changes the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to glorify God, to evangelize the lost, and to edify the saints, not to bring in the kingdom. And the more we're trying to bring in the kingdom, the more we're throwing ourselves into something that only Jesus can set up. Hmm. And by the way, how's it working for you as you're trying to bring in the kingdom? Are you making any real progress? I mean, to me, do you guys read the same newspapers I read? Yeah. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. So it's just an example where I'm in favor of cooperation, except when you're pressuring me to water down truth or change the definition of the church. And that's when I say thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Amen, Andy. And by the way, I think the biblical concept of salt and light never reached the point where that turns into control. Salt and light talk about influencing culture, society for righteousness, preserving, but not controlling institutions or people. So do you think, and I'm looking at your book, The Bible and Your Vote, Do you think that's a reason, just this confusion out there about outside of church walls, how should a Christian act? What should we do outside of the church in our culture, in our society, in our everyday lives? Do you think because some Christians are confused about that, they want to avoid the political altogether?
Well, they're confused about the issue of stewardship. I mean, a stewardship is not an owner, but a manager, someone who manages for God. And God has given us in this country unbelievable freedom. And so we're supposed to manage that for God. When I vote and I try to lay out the principles in that book, I'm not divorcing my Christian worldview from my voting any more than I divorce my Christian worldview from my family or from my vocation, whether it be secular or otherwise, any more from education. I mean, I bring that Christian worldview wherever I go. And I think that's what salt and light means. What Kingdom Now people mean by it is take over. Mm-hmm. It's almost like dealing with a Muslim who wants to like take over, you know, America and mandate Sharia law and impose a theocracy. And I'm sorry, once you go down that road, that's been tried before, hasn't worked very well. John Calvin tried to pull that off in Geneva and is probably responsible for the deaths of directly or indirectly over 50 people. And then you can think of the Spanish Inquisition. You can think of the Crusades. I mean, all of these are social experiments that went haywire. So I like the separate sovereigns doctrine. Church and state are separate sovereigns. I don't like separation of church and state concept because they're trying to say remove Christianity from government. So the bottom line to the whole thing is, for me, influence is great. Kingdom Now, take over theology. Theocracy language, I'm not involved in that because the only theocrat that I'm going to be involved in is the one that Jesus orchestrates during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ.
Amen. And I think I've quoted you. In fact, one of my books, I wrote a chapter called The Separation of... Wait a minute. No, the second biggest lie in America, because that's, I heard that from you once. I said, yes, the separation of church and state, because what that is interpreted to be now is the separation of biblical Christianity and government or culture. Remove Christian influence or the biblical worldview from every aspect of, that's just the opposite of what believers should be doing. I know, Andy, I'm preaching to the choir because you wrote The Bible and Your Vote. Thank you for that. And you can get that at andywoodsministries.org. Thanks for your time today.
Great to be here, David. Thank you.
God bless you, family in Christ. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. See you next time.